He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points.
On a cold day like today, there's no real way to get warm than a nice hot cup of Dean Richards. Hi, Dean.
With marshmallows.
With mini marshmallows.
That's
with
an insult.
Mini marshmallows.
Yo, hee-hoo.
Hi, Dean.
How are you, Dean? Happy New Year.
So nice to hear both of your voices, especially Wendy, because I've been following her recuperation on social media, and it sounds like everything's going great, but still nice to hear your voice.
Well, thank you. It's 4 weeks. My knee is 4 weeks old today, so I'm very excited. Having a birthday party later. I'll be back in studio next week. And Bill will be gone.
Look a bit older than 2.5 weeks.
Clean living. That's what it is, Dean. Clean living.
That's what it is.
You're out in sunny California, right?
I am. And oh, man, you were talking about the cold. It's 62 degrees right here right now.
So. Yeah, but with the wind chill, it's like 60, right?
Yeah, I think so. I hate being that guy. I hate the person who's in like nice weather and goes, "Yeah, it's really cold. It's 70 degrees."
Right.
Where I am right now. I hate that person. So sorry, I did that.
But you're there on business. You have no control. You have to go where the business
is. I am.
Yeah.
I am not having one bit of fun nor enjoying the beautiful outdoor weather.
Nope. Impossible.
Anyway.
Impossible.
No, I'm here strictly to do the the difficult task. I know a lot of people have jobs that take them outside and lugging coal.
Digging ditches.
People lug coal and
right.
dig. Yeah.
Right, working in the coal mines of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching movies and interviewing pampered movie stars.
Actually, in Chicago, it's working at the coal mine exhibit at the museum, but it's close enough.
That's right, and it costs extra to work in that coal mine, I found out when I went to the museum last year.
It does. Dean, I have to ask you, we were talking about this a little while ago, so you're an expert, we want your expert opinion. If you're hosting the Golden Globe Awards on Sunday, you certainly have to make mention of the scandal, the harassment scandal that has rocked Hollywood, but how do you do it in a way that is entertaining but still respectful to the people it affects?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be I think it's definitely going to be talked about. Seth Meyers is going to be the host. He certainly never backs away from any kind of, controversial subjects. But, maybe they'll make fun of, some of the people who have been accused of those things, and that'll be their way of doing it. I think it's going to be, not serious, but it's going to be a show of support for everything that's happening, making fun of the Harvey Weinsteins and Kevin Spacey's and, the list of others. I would mention all the rest, but your show is over.
There's not enough time. I know.
Yeah. What a weird situation in Hollywood right now, and with these award shows coming up, how bizarre.
Yeah, the whole thing is bizarre. The thing that I've found most interesting and most encouraging is the latest campaign that's I think it's called Show Me, that is an advocacy group for women who have been affected, who are not, high-profile kind of people. Because, anybody will tell you that this kind of thing goes on no matter what profession you're in. I was talking to somebody recently who was a waitress, and they said, "You want to see some sexual harassment? Come to the restaurant around 3 in the morning." And getting pinched on the butt and slapped on the butt and, the kinds of things that go on in everyday places that have nothing to do with celebrities.
But, Dean, that's the best thing about this advocacy group is they're not focusing only on Hollywood, especially not on Hollywood, but on other walks of life, on other professions. Yeah. That's a good move.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, if there's any upside of this whole thing, and believe me, I'm glad that people are coming forward and saying all this. I'm exhausted from reporting new names every single day. I mean, it's something that needs to be done because people are coming forward. But I said from the very beginning, if there's any upside to this whole thing, it's that it's drawing attention to this and that people who are affected by this, whether they're famous or not, are going to be held accountable for what they're doing. So if it's changing things, you know, and on an everyday basis. I think that's the only good thing that can come out of this.
Absolutely. Definitely. All right. Do me a favor. We don't have that much time, and we want to get to these lists. You've done, as you do every year, the 10 best of the year and the 10 worst of the year. Just go on the best ones. Just go top five. What's the fifth best film of 2017?
The fifth best film. These are my favorites of the year. Number five, I chose. I probably should have had this list in front of me.
I have it. If you want, a little help. Wonder Woman was fifth.
I have the worst list in front of me because
it's more fun.
Definitely more fun. But yeah, Wonder Woman was number five. Is it Shape of Water that was number four?
It was The Shape of Water. Yeah,
The Shape of Water. After that, and then I picked The Post, which is going to be opening in Chicago tomorrow. The Meryl Streep, Tom Hanks, Steven Spielberg movie I chose as number three. Number two is The Amazing Get Out, directed by Jordan Peele of Key and Peele fame.
I loved that.
It's a great movie. It's fantastic. It's exciting. It's funny. And it's a powerful statement about race and racism. And the number one movie, not everyone's favorite movie of the year, but it was definitely mine in terms of overall movie making, spectacular movie making, Dunkirk, the World War II film. I think it's going to be hard to find anything that's more intricately put together than that one for 2017.
Dean, I saw Dunkirk last week, and Wendy and I discussed this on Tuesday just a little bit. It doesn't follow a regular narrative that most movies start out at the beginning and then go in the middle and then resolve it at the end. It kind of goes its own path. But a lot of people were confused by the storyline because there's things that happen and you go, wait, is that happening now? Did that happen in the past? When did that happen? You understand that parallel, right? It's hard. It's almost hard to figure out the storyline sometimes.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, a lot of people are so, you know, they don't understand how I could have picked that as the number one movie for that reason. But it's for that reason that I, you know, chose it to be the number one movie, because there are no conventional leading man or leading lady in this movie, as most movies have. The storytelling comes to you from several different perspectives. I think while you may be a little bit confused at the beginning of the movie, ultimately it winds up making sense. And I think it's rather brilliantly put together by the director, Christopher Nolan. So I found it fascinatingly extraordinarily put together. How did you both feel about it?
I liked it a lot. Wendy, you haven't seen it yet, right? I enjoyed it quite a bit. I thought it was really a beautiful movie to watch.
Yeah, I think, you know, just overall, I've seen it three times. I never go see movies three times, but I just, you know, I'm just completely bowled over by that movie. And there are lots of good movies out this year.
Yeah.
There's, you know, the Darkest Hour, the Gary Oldman movie, which I think Gary Oldman will win the Academy Award for Best Actor, but that's a case where I think the acting is is far superior to the overall movie, which is not to say it's not a good movie, but that movie is powered on that singular performance. I love James Franco's The Disaster Artist. Again, I think it is powered by James Franco's performance and direction in that movie, but overall total movie-making, in my opinion, you can't beat Dunkirk.
Dunkirk is the best of the best.
Dean going to see Dunkirk three times is almost like Jimmy Mack seeing Star Wars four times. You're one more and you're even.
Yeah. Did he like Star Wars, by the way?
He loved it. And there's a lot of dispute between people that don't like it, that do like it. And it's just,
right.
just watch the movie, you know?
Yeah. That's what I said. I also loved it very much, but I've noticed and I've gotten a lot of feedback from super Star Wars fans who are being so super critical about it.
Yep.
So I'm
glad that's driving him nuts. And Bill liked it too.
I enjoyed it a lot.
The last couple.
Here's what's interesting to me is that Mark Hamill came out about a week or so after the movie came out and really kind of didn't condemn the movie, but said, this Luke Skywalker isn't my Luke Skywalker. They did some stuff with him that I'm not pleased about. He's lessened up on those comments a little bit, but I thought that was really interesting that he would both promote the movie and say, I'm not thrilled with the direction they took my character in.
I have yet to talk to any actor who was 100% thrilled with the final product after things go through editing and, you know, changing and piece of what they shot is different than what wound up in the movie. So I think that's sort of par for the course.
Yeah.
Often with motion pictures, I think it's great that there's so many different opinions on things. People get so defensive, and yep. Star Wars is a perfect example of that. My top 10 list of the year and my worst 10 list of the year, perfect example how people get so defensive if somebody has a different opinion. Some people like steak and some people don't like steak.
Right.
It's not the end of the world.
Right.
And that's what Jim's argument was. Watch the movie and either like it or don't, but don't complain about what it should have been. Just watch it and absorb it.
Yeah, that's
a pet peeve that I have with critics sometimes, is that their analysis of the movie is how they would have made the movie. Just tell me what you think about the movie that you saw.
Exactly.
That's all I really want to know.
Don't you think, though, with something like with Star Wars in particular, because there's been so much time between the early days of the Star Wars movies to today, that fans have all this time to not just formulate their own storylines, but really to live the opinion of that character. And if it doesn't play out that way, you say, well, you had all that time to make it right, and it didn't play out that way. And that's the crime for that viewer anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely that. And also that, from the early Star Wars movies, and even the second set, what wound up being episodes 1, 2, and 3, we didn't really have social media to express ourselves and to, yell at each other and browbeat each other about different opinions. So opinions are so much more readily available now. I don't understand, not only with movies, with a lot of things, the intolerance that people have for someone else's opinion.
I know.
Somebody else has another opinion. It's not the end of the world.
Right. That's so true. Dean Richards is here. We'll talk about the worst movies of 2017 and what's coming out this weekend next. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder. Dean Richards is here. Dean, it's hard to believe there were even 10 bad movies in 2017. Are you sure?
I checked 3 times.
Yeah?
Just to make sure, because it's virtually impossible that there could be a clunker that comes out any time at all. But
right.
I did manage in my meticulous way to find 10 that I hated. That included the latest Halle Berry movie, Kidnap, that included Transformers, The Nut Job, Nutty by Nature, the animation movie, 50 Shades Darker, Baywatch, the Dwayne The Rock Johnson movie. My number 5 pick was Assassin's Creed, that you would think with its actors in it would have been fantastic. 2-time Oscar nominee Michael Fassbender, and also Academy Award winners Marianne Cotillard and Jeremy Irons. And this was just one of these overly convoluted, kind of movies that came and went quickly. Thankfully, 2 hours of my life I'll never get back. A Bad Mom's Christmas may be the most aptly titled movie of the year, because bad is the word that summarized that, in my opinion. Some people loved it. I've been getting feedback from people saying that they absolutely loved A Bad Mom's Christmas. Again, something for everybody out there.
Dean, isn't there a trend, though? It's Bad Santa, it's Horrible Bosses. There was one with Cameron Diaz where she was a horrible teacher. That's like a formula now, right? It's just you take a profession, you take an adjective to describe how awful the profession is, and you have a movie.
Yeah, you find the very worst in it, and somehow you're supposed to celebrate the badness. I get it. I mean, it's R-rated irreverence. I get it. It's just not done very well.
Yeah.
It's not very clever. It's very predictable. I like irreverent movies also. This one, I think, was just so poorly written that, there just nothing happened with it. Scarlett Johansson is in my number 3 spot. A fantastic actress, but this movie that she had out called Ghost in the Shell, I'm still trying to figure out what this movie was about. I've spent most of the year, I spend most of my spare time trying to figure out what Ghost in the Shell was about. It was an excuse for weird special effects. And that's really all I ever got out of this movie. Number 2 was a movie with a lot of actors that I really like, including Ice Cube and Charlie Day and Tracy Morgan. The movie was called Fist Fight, about 2 high school teachers who have a disagreement. And the way these 2 high school teachers settle it is by meeting in the parking lot after school for a fist fight, which You know, Steven Spielberg was going to take on that movie. Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep, he made a last-minute decision not to. But this was a movie where it was so poorly written. Good actors, nothing to do. I couldn't stand Fist Fight. Some people liked it. And similarly, my number one worst movie of 2017, some people liked. I thought it was awful, the most awful.
I hope it's the same one that I think.
What's your guess, Wendy?
Chips.
Was it
Sausage Party?
Oh, Wendy goes with Sausage Party. Dean goes with Chips.
I think Sausage Party may have been the year before, but I'd have to check the dates on that. But I thought Sausage Party was actually kind of funny.
You did.
Chips, the movie adaptation of the TV show Chips with Dax Shepard and Michael Pena, again, such bad writing, such horribly bad writing in that movie. I was embarrassed for everybody who was involved in it. In this movie where Chips winds up standing for cheap, horrible, idiotic, predictable, and stupid.
Dean, when they showed the preview for it, I was in a theater and they showed the preview for Chips and the audience booed the preview.
Wow.
That's bad.
How about that? How about that?
Yeah,
now, did you notice that two of your top, or I should say your bottom 10 movies, are movies based on shows from the 80s? Baywatch and Chips.
Yeah, exactly.
So why doesn't Hollywood realize we've had enough of that? We're not going to fall for that again.
Yeah, why doesn't Hollywood realize that if you're going to make a movie that you need to have something more than a concept of let's remake a popular show, and that you need to have a script that that makes sense, that's somewhat original, where there are some interesting things happening, that just remaking a popular television show isn't enough to carry a franchise. That said, again, like I said before, I've gotten emails. When I put out my best and worst list of the year,
people are mad at you.
The most reaction, people get mad at me because, that I'm picking a movie that they liked. It's okay. You can still like it.
Right.
I'm just saying these are not for me. That's all. When there's Sausage Party.
Not when there's Sausage Party out there to be rented.
Those are 2 hours I cannot get back. And my teenage boys kept going, did you get to the end yet? And I'm like, no. And they just said, wait.
It gets better.
It was unreal.
It gets better. Here's some good news, though, Dean.
Did the boys like Sausage Party? Did the boys like Sausage Party?
No, even they thought it was stupid.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
I wanted to love it.
Here's the good news. One of Dean's top movies.
A little insight into my brain.
One of Dean's top movies, The Post, opens on Friday. Nothing but good things about this movie, right?
Yeah. I gave it a Dean's List A. I loved it, and I expect that it's going to win several awards at the Golden Globes this weekend. Steven Spielberg directs it. Tom Hanks stars. Meryl Streep stars. Bob Odenkirk. A whole list of an amazing, amazing ensemble in the real-life story of the Washington Post's decision to publish the Pentagon Papers back in 1971. It's such a well-made movie, such a intriguing drama, even though if you're familiar with the history of the Pentagon Papers, you know how it ends, you know the ending of the movie. But it's so well done, but I think even in a bigger sense, this movie is so relevant and so poignant right now because it's about freedom of the press. It's about the press's responsibility to tell the truth to the public, and for a lot of people, that's something which rings true today. So I think it's well done. It's very entertaining and very poignant all at the same time. So run to see that one. Another movie called Insidious is opening this weekend. And I did not screen that one, but it's the third in the Insidious trilogy, kind of a supernatural thriller, I'm told.
Dean, is it possible, when you have people like Steven Spielberg, Meryl Streep, and Tom Hanks, it's nearly impossible to make a bad movie, right?
I think so. I mean, I think they're all pretty great. It certainly has happened before, not with this particular trilogy of actors, but it's happened before where there's been, like all the credentials in the world and a movie doesn't.
Yeah. I guess.
Pan out very well, but it doesn't happen very often. And this particular movie is just really it's such a powerful, important drama. I can't recommend it enough. But we'll see what's going to happen this weekend because You know, you have movies like Three Billboards Over Ebbing, Missouri, which could win. And, you know, the Golden Globes are split up between dramas and comedy musical,
right,
even though many of the movies in that category are neither comedy nor musical. How they split it up, it really has to do with how the producers decided to categorize that particular movie and how they thought they had the best chance of winning an award. But I expect that The Shape of Water also will be a big winner. That's got the most nominations going into Sunday's Golden Globe Awards.
Excellent.
Exciting.
Yeah. Dean, thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Nice to talk to you both. Happy New Year, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks. That's Dean Richards. We'll take a quick break. We'll find out what Steve has coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Stay here, Bill and Wendy, WGN.